The next case is 98-21-22, Akron Hydroelectric Company versus City of Cuyahoga Falls.
Anytime you want to start a electric company, go out and grab land, go out and grab land, wherever you want to say, I'm going to start a company.
You have to have a little damn land. I drew a plan on that. That's an interesting class.
I drew a plan.
Interesting class. He's in the first time I'm going to land.
Yes.
And I'm going to go to land.
That's right.
Were you the ingenious person that devised this whole thing, or did some other lawyer do that?
I'm an engineer. When this decision was made by this court, published in the Green Book, I suspect the heading might bear something to do with eminent domain, or possibly even summary judgment. But the implications of this case we have, even though it's a small company that's trying to do this, the implications on the electric industry in Ohio. But I want to address with my comments today. Facts in this case relate to a very small company, seeks to refurbish an existing hydroelectric facility.
Okay, that's what I need to stop you right there, because that's a hurdle that I think you need to get over right away, is that the statute upon which this appropriation is claimed to be rightful does not seem to authorize any sort of appropriation of existing facilities.
You're referring to the
17.
Eminent domain,
right.
Statute 1723.01.
Yes.
There is a consent issue in 1202, very next one, those two.
No, I'm not talking about consent, counsel. That it seems to be speaking to the erection. It seems to be speaking to the companies who wish to establish new electric facilities. And as we read from the briefs, this is a restaurant that now...
It is now.
Yep.
Formerly was a show of a hydroelectric plant and dams existing in the building. When the developer made his restaurant, he knocked down one of the walls. Yeah, it's pretty good. So now we have these directly in the wall. We also have to go into...
Does the statute speak to only erection or building of facilities, or as opposed to reclaiming property owned by another?
I don't believe it's limited to.
And what language in that statute speaks to this scenario it's used build, erect, those are the words that I see. What words do you see that talk about existing facilities?
Well, I don't even need to get to that part, because
okay.
We are directing the conduit that has to tie into someplace to transmit the power to for the bulk sales. So there is a conduit that doesn't exist, that has to exist. And the small building and the access for the building are there. We have to erect something. We have to erect the West Wall. We have to re-erect the turbines. And we have to, the turbines have a lot of wires in them. We do one on. And we have to erect the conduit that would take the wire out to the substation. There's also some damage to another thing, the hydraulic raceway.
Let's get down to the basic issue of whether or not the municipality has to consent. That's really what we're here for, is it not?
And I would refer to Chapter 17, which is 23, is like 4933, two separate statutes.
Yeah, okay, before you go to the two separate statutes, and there's even more than two separate statutes, there's a third one, too. Yeah. Way back 100 years ago when I was a city councilman, we always had to consent, even to the Edison Company, using our right-of-way, that is the public right-of-way, to string their poles and their wires. Is that correct?
I would believe, yes.
Sure. Because under Article 18, Section 3 and 4 of the Constitution, a municipality, particularly with a home rule charter, has the right to operate a public utility and to serve its citizens. All right. If we accept that, then also flows from that the right to consent to somebody else doing it if you choose not to do it. Why should this be different?
The city has the right to award franchise rights for electricity, or to withhold that, or some hybrid of that, or to operate their own business. Kind of how it falls, operates their own business, purchases.
I understand.
But you, as a councilman, when you're on the Corps of Engineers came to clean out the riverbed, I don't believe they needed your consent for that.
Yeah, but that was a federal waterway. That was a water course under the federal law. That doesn't have anything to do with the 3 foot or 5 foot easement running along Superior Street.
Well, we're on River 2, which is federal jurisdiction, and federal law controls the operating permit above the water projects.
By the way, are you on the river, or do you just draw water from the river, or would you just have drawn water from the river?
It's a project that's called Run of the River. Right now, all the water pours over the dam. If the plant was operating, it would be channeled right through and dropped onto the turbine blades.
Okay, so in this colloquy between us, it seems to me, and if I'm wrong, you tell me, you're accepting that the city must consent, except that this is preempted by federal law because it's a waterway.
Their consent is preempted, but not just for that reason, Connor. What I can't get across, and I see in the media release also, it's wasn't right, right, so it must be me, everyone else is big. There's a difference now between retail and wholesale markets on the electric company. Years ago, it made no sense for somebody to go buy private property and make a power plant because there was nothing you could do with it. You're regulated by the PUCO, you had a certified territory act. You couldn't do anything, you couldn't sell it to your neighbor because you violated and PUCO orders, they had to set the retail price. In 78, with the PURPA legislation, and that was the Public Utilities Regulatory Policy Act, in response to the energy crisis, it was now possible for small entrepreneurs to come in and then co-generators like Anheuser and Bush, to generate their own power and to sell that power to existing municipal systems and large public utilities.
With the consent of the municipality.
I don't believe that's necessary. If you, as long as you stay in scope of wholesale generation, all you're doing is tying into the electric system. Minimal impact on the franchise rights and minimal impact to retail sales because you're just in a wholesale market.
Okay, so you're in a wholesale market. Who are you going to sell it to?
Well,
are you going to sell it to end users in the municipality?
Federal law, in order to, for a purpose to work, requires the municipal system or the public utilities, certain area requires them to tie you in. It requires them to buy your power at the avoided cost, and that avoided cost is the term.
But the end result is you have to have somebody to sell it to. And it is within the municipality's jurisdiction, is it not, to serve its constituents? Pursuant to the Constitution, right.
And we don't necessarily have to sell to the in wholesale, well, to the city, but it is a pretty good way to cost for this.
It's not just for the use of the restaurant.
We don't know where the actual electron, in fact, we don't know. It
goes into the grid.
Yeah, and we don't know where it goes. We're selling every 1 meter out to the city. city wants to deal with someone else. And this whole thing's going to be changing with the what's going on across the street anyway, the retail system. So, in this case, in our attempt to appropriate the property to some credit consent today, because the federal legislation allows us to operate. Before I reserve the remainder of my time, we are asking that this court do is reverse the public court to remand for a hearing on the necessity of this case, because every issue that the appellate court and the trial court rule upon are actually going to abuse of discretion by a single director, but now actually there are several directors in the company. This is all very close to the appellate corporation. And I'll reserve the rest of this.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Mr. Arrington.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Virgil Arrington. I'm the attorney for the city of Niagara Falls. I would present a joint argument on behalf of both athletes, the city of Niagara Falls and the powerhouse at Water's Edge. This case involves nothing more and nothing less than the power of a private power company to appropriate private land. And under the statutes of the state of Ohio, that appropriation requires the consent of the city of Niagara Falls, and that consent was not given. That statement of law and fact that I've just given you was established very early on in this case before the Town Police Court. Since then, this case has become nothing but a grease pig, and I've had a very difficult time getting a handle on it because the appellant keeps changing his argument. The first time we talked about requiring the city's consent, the appellant came into court and said, well, we don't need the city's consent because we're not erecting new facilities. And the consent requirement in 17.30 refers to erecting new facilities. So then we looked at 17.30.1, which is the eminent domain statute itself, and it only authorizes eminent domain if you are erecting new facilities. So then the appellant changed his mind and says, well, okay, we are erecting something new. Then, after that, the appellant switched from going from chapter 17.23 to writing code to 49.33. Well, again, the city pointed out several sections of that chapter which require the consent of the city, not only to appropriate the land, but for them to even operate their facility. At that point, this is after summary judgment pleadings have been filed, the appellant comes in and says, you know, you can't really rely on chapter 49.33 either because that's been preempted by federal law.
Counselor, what happens if the B&O Railroad wants to put a track through Cuyahoga Falls? And they, yeah, I know you don't want that. And they come in and say, okay, this is the route that we need to go. And the city says, going to be no trains in Cuyahoga Falls. This is a nice residential community, and if you want to go through here, you go around here. Do they need your consent to put a railroad track through there?
No, I apologize. I can't answer that. The reason I can't answer that is that I have had a hard enough time grasping the law on the facts of this case.
Okay, let's then do it with electricity because that's even closer to water, and I'll get to water if that's all you want to talk about. But supposing the Ohio Edison wants to put something through Cuyahoga Falls, do they have to get permission of the city?
Absolutely.
And what if the city says no?
Then they're out of luck. I mean, it's just that simple. I hate to be that blunt about it.
So that would be true about the railroad, too.
The only reason I'm hesitating is because there are different statutes dealing with different utilities.
I understand.
And so I'm not sure what statute.
But we are dealing with the power of eminent domain.
Absolutely.
The power of eminent domain generally is by a municipal or a governmental entity to acquire property for a public purpose.
Right.
Here, the issue is whether a private entity can acquire private property by the public theory of eminent domain.
Absolutely.
And do you do that? Could you ever see a case where a private entity could use the power of eminent domain independent of any consent by anybody to acquire other private property?
Conceptually, I can't conceive of that. It's a governmental power.
What about urban renewal? We do it all the time with urban renewal.
Well, in fact, that's where this parcel came about. I mean, it was...
Yeah, but the city acquired this parcel.
Right, the city acquired
and then transferred to another private developer.
Transferred to another private developer.
Does the city have to use eminent domain to acquire it? was negotiated.
In this case, I'm not sure exactly on this parcel. I know that we appropriated or purchased a lot of parcels on our downtown area back in the 60s and 70s. Some by eminent domain, some by simple negotiation. On this particular parcel, I don't know which we use.
But would be your position to put any public utility in at all, electric, gas company, before they can traverse any territory in Cuyahoga Falls, they have to get consent of the city?
Absolutely. And I believe that that is an extension of Article 18, Section 4 of the Constitution, which gives the city what this court has called monopoly power over utility service within its borders. And I absolutely believe that the utility would have to get consent of the city. The distinction that Mr. Holmes is making between retail and wholesale, this is a distinction that came up, I think, probably the first time in the Court of Appeals. And he said in this court, it was never raised to my knowledge in the trial court. What I believe that the Holmes is trying to say is that if he's going to sell the electricity wholesale, then he doesn't need to consent. But I don't believe that's established by this record. Secondly, this appellant, at this point it exists largely on paper. It has one officer. What it ends up doing in the future may be entirely different than what it says it intends to do right now. Thirdly, with respect to the entire federal preemption argument, what Mr. Wilcox is trying to do, or the appellant is trying to do, is really kind of ingenious. What he's saying is the state has given a limited right of eminent domain, and the state has given a limited right. What he's saying is he's going to rely upon that right of eminent domain, but based on federal preemption, remove all the limitations. And I think that's taking federal preemption to sort of the illogical absurd. What he's trying to do is create a right that doesn't exist. He has no right under federal law to appropriate this land. The only right he would have would be under state law if he jumped through all the hurdles. He hasn't jumped through all the hurdles, and what he's saying is now under federal law, he doesn't have to jump through all the hurdles. Quite frankly, I think the General Assembly knew that. He just take away the right of eminent domain completely from the facility. The whole idea of putting these limitations on the right of appropriation is to provide a safeguard to the abuse of appropriation of property by private utilities, because it is a governmental function. And so by putting on those limitations, they provide a safeguard for the people. And what what wants to do here is use the right of eminent domain without any limitations. So what he's saying is federal law preempts just the limitations, but not the right. And I think that's drawing too fine a line with respect to federal preemption, and it's also taking it farther than it ever intended. Further, with respect to the preemption argument, one of the cases that's relied upon by the appellants is the First Ironwood case versus the Federal Power Commission, the United States Supreme Court case. And that case specifically stated, as cited various examples of certain matters that remain under local control, one of them being the question of title to the riparian rights. Well, in this case, the title to the riparian rights of the Cuyahoga River for power purposes is claimed by the city of Akron, not by this appellant. The United States Supreme Court has held that that is still a matter of local concern. Another matter of local concern is local franchises with respect to intrastate commerce. One of the whole reasons the federal government is involved in this at all is to build interstate commerce, not intrastate commerce. And there's no evidence in this record that this appellant is going to engage in interstate commerce. He wants to sell electricity to the city of Cuyahoga Falls. We've got enough electricity. We've got ample supply. We have ample suppliers. And as a result, there is no further necessity for this. The bottom line is that in this case, City of Niagara Falls is required for the appellant to appropriate this land, which at the beginning of this case was just simply land in an abandoned powerhouse. That is, as we stand here today, there are chefs preparing for lunch. There's a restaurant. If the appellant prevails, he's not going to sell electricity to that restaurant. He's going to have to just tear down that restaurant. So, and then that raises another concern. There's been now, in the course of this litigation, there is now a new party who has an interest who's done before the court. This case has a lot of weird quirks and a lot of strange issues like that. That's why the City of Akron should be a party to this case, because they claim the power rights to the river that they may be losing if the law succeeds. So there are a lot of those little issues that are still out there. But
what's the value of this power?
What's the value of it? At this point, it's probably in the millions. I mean, I haven't seen an appraisal on it recently. The city originally sold the land for just, tens of thousands of dollars to the developer. That was all part of the urban renewal program. But since then, it's been developed into a restaurant and an office building, which is still being completed. And so now the value of this property has skyrocketed.
Well, at the time it was there, it seemed to me that my recollection reading the briefs that was like $250,000. He has indicated that it'll generate $85,000 worth of electricity, as I recall, and amortize it over 3 years. So that's about what the construction of the property was going to cost at that time.
Yeah, that could very well be. But the point is the value of the land has skyrocketed. And there's no question that it's for far more than it was when this case was first filed.
So the economics of this deal may go away.
That certainly might be, based on my understanding of the law. A lot has changed since this case was filed. I mean, a lot has changed.
And unfortunately, since the city had power rights to the river,
the city of Akron, which is just in our south, claims to hold the power rights to the river. They have a chain of title where there are documents from the 50s and 60s, I believe, which transfer those rights to the City of Akron. The City of Akron holds those rights. The appellant in this case, the appellant's president under a different corporation that he created, approached the City of Akron to get those power rights, and the City of Akron said, no, we're not giving them to you. So even if this consent of the city of Niagara Falls wasn't required, the appellant's list jumped through a lot of other hurdles to be able to appropriate this land. One of them is to get those power rights. And the city of Akron has no intent of giving those up. And so this case goes beyond just the specific question that's before you concerning the consent of the city. It goes to the consent of the city of Akron. It goes to the ability of this appellant to do what he says he's going to do. Yes, he has. In the trial court, I requested in discovery financialist documentation to indicate that he could do what he's going to do. And the documentation that I received did not show that. So there are a lot of hurdles that the appellant must overcome in order to appropriate this land. He has not overcome those hurdles. Many of those hurdles he hasn't even tried to overcome. Based on all of this, based on the arguments, I agree, but yes, this court to refer to the decision on the court of appeals.
Thank you, Mr. Harrington. Mr. Wilcox, you can save 5 minutes of your time.
The court says, with regard to the jumping around issues regarding the law, the raised the issue of the man, which is Chapter 4933. It was in response to the defendant's argument that you can't appropriate property because you can't build the building, even if you got the property, you need Arkansas to build the land, therefore it's implicit that the eminent domain requires you to take your consent. And in response to it, but the way of the purpose allows federal law to allow the CS to do this in First Iowa, tell us that anything that totally obstructs a project like this would be preempted. Statutes which do not interfere with the project stand.
Isn't it, your opponent makes the point in the brief for the city that if this were, if we were to uphold your view of this statutory scheme that that would permit a private entity to appropriate other private property to upgrade, essentially what is what the building that you want to do is upgrading and repairing and putting back into service an old plant, wouldn't that serve as a stepping stone for each any utility to take such a view of a neighboring utility facility and say, gee, we do intend to do some building there. We're going to upgrade and do this and that, and we want to appropriate it.
That cannot happen. There is law that prevents the contest is as long as it doesn't substantially interfere with the not appropriating utilities system. That can happen. So if allowing this one to come and appropriate an existing plan.
Some municipal.
Mm-hmm. They want to get their plant to us. That's a plant. There's a case right on point. It's a total case.
But maybe that, no, they haven't tried 17-2301 and 2. The reading of these statutes that you take, I think, might, wouldn't that permit it?
Are you saying a plant that is not being used?
Right. Let's say that. Yeah. No, well, let's say you use a plant that is being used.
Well, obviously not.
What's the difference? Used, not used? No. I don't see the statute saying in use or not.
No, it's the case law that has the substantial impact.
Case law construing this statute, counsel?
It's not that statute. I think it's other eminent domain statutes. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You can't appropriate property that is being used by somebody for that same purpose. But when one party is using land for a railroad and somebody else is across that railroad with a transmission line, and they make the transmission line high enough, and so there's no impact to that railroad. Interesting point you made is that the purchase of the property was $1,000. So there's about tens of thousands of dollars of credit. I think the record is really, I wrote it in school in Vegas, but essentially what happened was it was a credit for the developer to erect certain structures. We don't think that credit was preference. And as the credit was given over a very long period of time, the developer didn't have to do anything for like 4 or 5 years. Really nice deal. If we had a hurdle like that, we would get those water power rates in. The water power rates are necessary, but I can't imagine coming here before you saying we have to have the water power rate until we appropriate the building. The building has some of these structural repairs to be made, and the condo would be routed under the substation. Numerous other hurdles before we even need the water power rates. That's sufficient. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.